you to turn in your Bibles to, let me see where my young brother got us at. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2, Tyler?
Yeah.
Yeah, Philippians 2, verses 14 through 16. I'm looking forward to this exhortation. We are still doing indicatives, although we have an agenda in the near future to do biblical theology, which is what I'm doing with our ladies on Thursday nights. Our sisters are having a very good time. They're responding very well to biblical theology, so I know it's something that I also need to bring to the men at some point to give us a sense of the background of God's eternal purpose in Christ as the basis for creation, the basis for providence, the basis for the future, and it'll be a blessing to us, I'm sure, too. But I'm so glad that some of our guys are still working on indicatives and taking the opportunity to help us to see what we are, not in ourselves, but what we are in Christ. It's a beautiful thing to know that God sees us in ways that we don't see ourselves. And by faith, we can enter into the blessedness of what we are in Christ, knowing that one day, because He's our mediator and our substitute, we'll be just like God said we will be. That's what faith is. Good to see you, my brother. Good to see you. Yes. And you too, soldier. Good to see you. Heavenly lights. I'm looking forward to this. Let me read Philippians chapter 2. And I'm going to start actually at verse 12 and go through verse 16. I know this is not what Tyler is dealing with, but I think this will help us understand the context a little bit better. It's a transition that takes place after verse 11. This here is what we call a conclusive clause. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both the will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Father, bless the reading of your word, and once again, bless our speaker, and do for us what only you can do. Open our ears that we may comprehend truth. Open our eyes that we may behold your glory. Open the speaker's mouth that he may simply and plainly declare the truth as it is in Christ. And Spirit of God, accompany it both in the hearing and the receiving of your word, that our souls might be blessed tonight in preparation to worship tomorrow. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Give our brother a hand. Need a board?
Yeah.
Okay.
Good evening, brethren. I trust that we are all doing well by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. And I wanted to first share that this message sort of came together under inspiration of several of the men that have spoken here in this indicative class. And I have been surely blessed by many of the messages that we've heard. And it's it's just been a blessing and a comfort to see men from amongst our congregation, all of our brethren, standing up and sharing the message. So this message definitely has been helped by my brethren. I first want to draw your attention to the text itself, starting from verse 14 of Philippians chapter 2, where it says, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings." I want to read that just one more time. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God. Now stopping there for a moment, if anyone would think that by our own power or by our own efforts, that by avoiding murmuring on one occasion or avoiding disputing on another occasion, that would transform us into the Son of God if we weren't previously a Son of God, that's not at all what the text is saying. In fact, it's in the original language what would be called the mood of possibility. And it's speaking to what God has made possible in our life by Jesus Christ. And that's where the language comes out. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Well, that's something that is not possible for us unless we have the Spirit of God. We are all sinners and we have all fallen short of the glory of God. And for this reason, it says that you might be the sons of God. It's actually speaking to the possibility, or rather for us who are God's elect, the destination that we will arrive at over time, that one day we will actually be the sons of God. And it's speaking to the process in our life of being conformed more and more to the image of Christ. And with that, it says, without rebuke, and where are we? In the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. And that's what I want us to key in on and focus our mind, is that we, as lights in the world, are called to hold forth the word of life. And I just want to share briefly with you something that my brother has told me. He's very interested and very active in actually the deaf community. And he told me one time of a husband and a wife, and a time when a husband actually did to his wife, they're both deaf, the most disrespectful and most shameful thing that a husband could do to a wife in the deaf community. See, they were having an argument. They were having a fight. They were sitting in bed together and they were arguing and they were bickering. And then the husband actually chose to disrespect her as deeply as he possibly could. And what happened is, in the midst of their argument, he reached over and he turned out the light. See, amongst a deaf couple that speaks only in sign language, not hard of hearing, but deaf, to turn out the light was to silence his wife, was to tell her that he cared nothing for what she had to say to him, to put his hand over her mouth and disrespect her. But for us, that is what we do to God when we close the book when we're not supposed to. That is what we do to God when we ignore the Word of God. That is what we do to God when we are called to hold forth the Word of life and we do not. We, being sinful man, take it upon ourselves in that moment that we have some authority to not listen to God. Sinners in need of a Savior, that's all that we are. So I'll call our attention to the text of the one thing that we could never make ourselves, which is the sons of God. How then do we actually become the sons of God? How can we actually become lights in the world? Well, in your outline, in the first point, we need to look at what is the origin of the lights in the world. And every light comes from the same source. It's a pure and it's a simple truth. We read in the book of James 1:17, it says, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, and it comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of His own will begot He us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. See, God is light, and in him is no darkness whatsoever. This is a God that has no shadow of turning, no changing of his purpose. Because if there is a perfect being, any change for that being is a weakness, or it's a lie, or it's a failing from his purpose. Because God is light, and in him is no darkness whatsoever. God himself, there's not even a shadow of change or of turning, and it is of his own will itself that we are begotten and become the sons of God. If we receive the gift of sonship, and yes, it is a gift to be the Son of God, then we can be assured that the gift of sonship has come down from the Father of lights. And it might be so simple that we might miss it, but if we are lights, it is only because God is the Father of lights, and we are his sons. We are lights in the world by being sons of the Father of lights. And how does that happen? Well, something came down. Something came down from above. And in your outline it says, first point, the Word of God came down. Or we could say water. We'll explain in a moment. The Spirit of God came down. And of course we could say Spirit. Our new birth came down from the Almighty God that is above. As the Greek word would be born Anothen, born from above, born again. And being born again, we receive our sonship. This is how we can be blameless and harmless and without rebuke in the midst of a wicked nation and a wicked generation. This is how we can actually do things without murmurings and disputings. It's by the gift of the Spirit of God. It's by receiving the gift of sonship from above. And we who were once in darkness, or even we who were darkness, are now new creations of light. And the bottom line is, there was a day that the will of God came down and it changed your life. The will of God entered into your life. The Word of God broke through the darkness. Just like Saul on the Damascus Road, we were marching along in our sins for all intents and purposes, ready to persecute Christ. As Christ says, Saul, Saul, not why do you persecute the church that's on earth? No, he said, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me, Saul? And that is where I was. That is where all of us were. But on one day, there was a shocking entrance of light into our life. And it hit us so hard that it caused us to pray. And it was like as the children of Israel moving through the wilderness, that they heard the call of Moses. And Moses called out the covenant mediator and he said, whoever is on the Lord's side, come to me. And the children of God came to Moses' side against all their brethren. And they drew swords for the great day of slaughter. But if they did not escape who refused Moses' voice, who was the mediator of the old covenant, how much more will we not escape if we refuse him who speaks from heaven, the Son of God that is seated even now on the right hand of the Father, ruling and reigning and crying out now under the new covenant, who is on the Lord's side, come to me. And if you have never had that shocking entrance of light into your life, if the Word of God never entered your life, if the Spirit of God never entered into your heart, then you might, no, you definitely must consider which side of the slaughter you are on. We're not here to preach a candy-coated Christianity. We're here to preach the message that separates the wheat from the chaff. We're here to preach the message that gathers the wheat of God's elect into the garner and it purges the barn floor with unquenchable fire. And to know that whosoever comes to Christ will never be cast out. And you will have eternal life, you who believe on the Son of God who died in your stead upon the cross. So if we run down, we see from the top, we're born of water. We're born of spirit. We have the new birth, born from above, born again. Being born again, we receive the gift of sonship. With our sonship, we are now heirs of the eternal inheritance. As Paul would say in Romans 8:17, if children of God, then we are heirs and we're joint heirs with Christ. And we have no idea how great and phenomenal all the blessings and all the riches and all the glory in eternity future, the salvation, the forgiveness of our sins, the joy, the bliss, the majesty, the glory to behold the Son of God forever when we never once deserved it for a moment. And all that we have ever deserved is hell. See, the first and great thing that comes into our hearts with the knowledge of the gospel is the knowledge that we have been forgiven. Yes, sir. That the burden of sin has come off because our Lord Jesus Christ took it upon Himself and He carried it to the cross for us and He rose again and He said, "It is finished." Salvation is in the Lord. So Ephesians 5:8 says, "For you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Or as it says in Isaiah 40, drawing us closer to our text again, the Lord says, "To whom then will you liken me, or shall I be equal? Saith the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who has created these things that bringeth out their host by number? He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of His might, for that He is strong in power. Not one faileth." And what He is speaking is, lift up your eyes on high and see all the host of heaven. See the tapestry of the heavens that the Lord of glory has woven and how every star in its number and how every blood-bought child of God has been precisely called by name and woven into the tapestry of heaven, and not one fails. Who shall be the equal of this God? And that draws us to our text and our exact term. In Philippians chapter 2, "I have among whom you shine as lights." But our message tonight is, ye are heavenly lights. Heavenly lights. And the reason for that is, the word that's used is a very rare Greek word. In fact, it only appears two times in the entire New Testament. And it is the word phosteres. And Paul could have just used the regular word for light, which is phos, from which we get photo, like photosynthesis, the synthesis of light. Phos is light, but steres, or the Greek word auster, is the second half of this word. This is really just two words jammed together, phos and auster. And this is a very, very easy Greek word to grasp. If you look at it, auster in English simply means a star. So when you look at this word, just where it sits in the text, it's not simply saying you are lights. He could have used so easily the common New Testament word for light, but he didn't. He used a rare word because he wanted to make his point. And when you see this, it looks like light stars. Among whom you shine as light stars in the world, or the best concept of it would be heavenly luminaries. Bodies of light that are heavenly, but yet shining in the earth. As in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And God, who is light, and God, who is good, all things were bathed in the goodness of God. All things were bathed in light. Heaven and earth were in harmony. Man was in harmony with God. But then the tempter came, and Adam, our first father, failed. And the world was actually plunged in darkness. And so now we have this separation from God, where man can only hope, man can only wish that he could be with God in the heavens, even the third heaven, the heaven of heavens. But the best that we can do by our works is to bring together a Tower of Babel and put our fist in God's face and have Him scatter us, because the way to heaven is through Jacob's ladder, which is Christ Himself, the one upon whom the angels ascended and descended. He is the one that actually allows us access to the Father by faith, and because of Him we receive the gift of sonship. And those heavenly stars now, there are heavenly luminaries on earth. And they are the saints of God. See, our citizenship is not of this world, just as Christ is not of this world. We can't live for this world and this life. Our citizenship is actually in heaven. See, when He ascended, He went to prepare a place for us. And there is a precise position for every gem and star and every saint of God that the Lord loves with all His heart. And He placed that position for us. And here we are in this world, ready on the day that the Lord calls us to ascend and to shine for eternity in the love of God, basking in His glory. And the only thing in this text that He wants us to do on this earth is shine. He wants us to shine. But we cannot shine of ourselves. We can't shine of ourselves. Which brings us to our point. How can we possibly shine? Emphasis, we. Meaning frail sinners, weak sinners, lying sinners, failing sinners. How can we possibly shine? By opening up the book. By holding forth the word of life. And that's what our text calls us to. Among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. So we would say, what are the characteristics and calling for us as heavenly lights? We have the highest calling. We have the highest calling because we are sons of the Most High God. And He has called the light to shine out of the darkness in our hearts through faith in the gospel of Christ, just as in the creation He called the light to shine out of darkness then. And I don't think that it would take much to convince all of us that we are indeed in a wicked, wicked generation. Like King Herod, who slayed all the infants from 2 years old and under, we live in a generation where the enemy has no compassion, will not wait, will not pause, will not spare to attack our children. From the moment that they come forth from the womb, the enemy is attacking our children. The enemy is corrupting our society. The enemy is stifling the gospel. The enemy is doing everything that he can to stop us from holding forth the word of life. And yet, for all that, we still shine. We still shine. Because by the grace and power of God who strengthens us, we can hold forth the word of life and we can share the gospel. That's the calling of being a heavenly light. But as to the characteristics of what that light does, obviously light illuminates. Light shines upon the shadows. Light shines upon the darkness. In your outline, light illuminates to reveal sin. Just like in the book of James in verses, chapter 1, verse 23 through 25, James says that the law of God, the perfect law of liberty, in fact, is like a man staring into a mirror and beholding his natural face as in a mirror, which for sinners is to look into the mirror of God's word and actually to see our natural face, to see ourselves as we are by our nature. See, when we close the book, we might walk away from the mirror and forget what manner of sinful man we actually are. But when the book is open, when we're looking into the mirror and we can see ourselves clearly in the Word of God, that's why people want to shut the book. That's why people want to shut the book. Because you can't criticize this book. This book criticizes you. When the book is open, you see your sin, but it's designed to drive us to our Savior. So the first thing that light does when we hold forth the word of life is it reproves and it convicts of sin. The second thing is that light illuminates to reveal righteousness. I'm talking about true righteousness. Chiefly the fact that you don't have any, and neither do I. But Christ has it all.
Yes, sir.
So if you would merely believe on the Son of God, you can have all His righteousness. If you believe in the Son of God as your substitute, He has taken away all of your sin, and God looks upon you with all the righteousness of His Son. Yes, the Word of God holds forth righteousness in truth. And then finally, light illuminates to reveal judgment. Just as in John chapter 12, verse 31, Christ says, now is the prince of this world, that is Satan, now is he cast out. Now is the judgment of this world, where as Satan being bound, Satan being cast out, such that the gospel has now effectively spread to every nation in the world, Satan's casting down and his binding was a kind of first fruits of the judgment of God, declaring that as Satan has been judged, as he was cast out at Calvary, and the gospel was no longer contained but is spread into all the world, now we are assured that there will be a day of future judgment. There will be a resurrection of the just and the unjust. There will be a gathering of the wheat into the garner of the Lord for those who believe, and there will be a casting into outer darkness for those who do not believe. The next thing that light does is light magnifies light. Light comes together with other light. Light glories and magnifies in other light. In a favorite illustration or example of the Trinity, people will take three candles and set them side by side. And they'll light one candle, and then the next candle, and then the next candle. And they'll notice that candle A is not candle B or C, and so on and so forth. Neither candle is the other. Each one is distinctly its own flame. But yet, it doesn't cast three different lights. They all join together into one light. Just as in John chapter 10, Christ says, I and my Father are one, that they are one in the purpose of salvation. They are of one accord. They are of one agreement in the covenant of redemption to save all of God's people. And so the three joining together being light, it all magnifies together into one light. For who has ever seen light repel light? It doesn't happen. Light joins with light. Light magnifies light. And this is our obligation. If I could say that word, this is our obligation. If you are a light, if you are a heavenly light, you have an obligation to shine. And so on the back of our outline, it says in Isaiah chapter 60, arise, shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee. And his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up your eyes round about and see. All they gather themselves together, they come to thee. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters shall be nursed at your side. Yes, the gospel has spread into all the world. And yes, the Master has said, the harvest is white. The harvest is white. It's ready to just come off the branch with just a touch. With just a touch. And all the angels of heaven will rejoice when one soul believes in the gospel of Jesus Christ. So our calling is to shine, to hold forth the word of life. Yes, it is light, but it is also the word of life, because in the scriptures, light is always paired together with life. And if you want to, light and darkness are maybe a little bit abstract, but if you want to anchor in on this Bible study, we need to understand light is life and darkness is death. That's just as simple as it gets. Light is life and darkness is death. So when we hold forth the word of life, it is the light of God's word. And we're called in this heavenly procession, the general assembly, the church of the firstborn, which we all are. We are called to be holding forth the word of life and having souls added to this parade, added to this procession. As the light now grows, souls are added to the kingdom of God, and it shines more and more and more until we reach the perfect day. That is our calling. And the promise to us is that He will never leave you or forsake you. He will never leave you or forsake you. And we can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens us. This is our calling. So with that, understanding that what we are offering to the world is a siren of rescue to those that are on a sinking ship. When we hold forth the world of life, the word of life, what we're doing, 2 Timothy 1:10, it says that the calling, the heavenly calling, is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. That's what we're doing when we're holding forth the word of life. That's what we're doing when we're sharing the gospel. We're bringing life and immortality to light by the gospel. See, we're, in this sense, that's why I love the idea of not just lights and not just stars, but heavenly luminaries, bodies of light that are in the sky, heavenly citizens that are down here on earth shining like the sun and like the moon and like the stars. Because in this respect, we're really like the moon. We don't actually give off our own light. We're a reflection of His glory, holding forth the Word of God, being in the image of Christ. We are holding forth the light of the Son of God because He has made us sons of God, being the captain of our salvation, bringing many sons to glory by His accomplished work upon the cross. So we hold forth the light of Christ, not our own light. We hold forth the light of Christ. Now, where do we shine? Where do we shine? There's a lot of us that may be thinking, well, I'm not really in a position in my life to shine too well, so I'll just wait for the next season where the Lord will place me in a better place. No. God's a genius. That's the biggest understatement I could ever make in the entire world. God is a genius. God is sovereign. God has you exactly where He wants you to be, and me too. And so God has all of us in different positions, but He has every single one of us exactly where He wants us to be. So it doesn't matter what your position is, you need to play that position according to your calling. Because some of us, we might just have a simple position. We might be like a 360-pound defensive lineman, and we're just going to grind out the same play over and over again. We see our calling. It's simple. We're just going to grind out the same hard play over and over again, get back up and get ready to do it again. Some of us are placed in a zone. We see sinners wander by us, and as soon as that happens, we know that's our responsibility. We have to take that attack of opportunity. If someone crosses our zone, we have to share the gospel with that sinner. Sometimes, and some of us might be placed on man coverage. The Lord might stick you on a man for 6 months. One man, just to witness to one man, one woman, one child for 6 months or for 12 months or for a decade or for a lifetime. I was moved in my bowels to hear Stephen Lawson, a great preacher, telling about his wife just sharing the gospel repeatedly, repeatedly, repeatedly with her dying father. And she just stayed on the man. She just continued to share the gospel to the point that she would climb into his sick bed with him and just share the gospel again and again and again. She, for the love of God that was in her, would not let him go. She would climb into the sick bed and share the gospel again and again and again, where he had rejected for a lifetime, for decades. And eventually, the heart turned to Christ. Eventually, he saw the light. That's our calling. Because we, like Moses before the Israelites in the wilderness, we really know God, those of us that are born again. And there are so many people in the world that do not know God. But when you receive the revelation from God and you come forth and your face shines like Moses in the wilderness, there are many people who will not receive you. But you must keep shining because it is your calling. There's even Stephen in the book of Acts, who, like Moses, received the anointing. Not his own light, but a light from heaven. He's a heavenly light. The light of his face shined, and not only did they not receive him, but they murdered him there for holding forth the word of life. And in that moment, as Stephen was being stoned to death, he looked up into the heavens, and he saw the captain of our salvation, the Son of God, stand up off the throne to salute a sinner that had accomplished his calling. He stood up to salute Stephen, the first martyr of the New Testament church. And why? Because he shined as he was called to shine, even unto the death. He held forth the word of life, even unto death. He resisted unto blood. And the Son of God stood and saluted a sinner here on the earth because he is a heavenly citizen, and Brother Stephen shines even now, eternally in glory. A heavenly citizen. And finally, light does scatter away darkness. Light does scatter away darkness. As the preacher said, wisdom excels foolishness as far as light excels darkness. And so there will be times where, in fact, perhaps many times, where you will hold forth the word of life, you will shine exactly as you are supposed to, and they will not receive you, just as Christ came to his own, and his own received him not. There will be times where you will have to realize that people are so set in darkness that they will be ready to turn and trample and rend you if you continue to share the word of God with them. And to that, you must shake off the dust of your feet and move on to your next assignment, because light does scatter away darkness. And for all this, there definitely is a reason that we can be called sons of the Father of Lights. There is a reason why we as sinners can actually be born from above, born from again. And the reason is that before there was a star in the sky, before there was a sun, before there was a moon, before light had shined out of the darkness, there was still a light that was shining everlasting. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the first chapter of Hebrews says that He was the radiance of God's glory. That He was shining forth as the brightness of God, being the express image of His nature, shining eternal, the unquenchable, the eternal, the ultimate light. And His name is Jesus Christ. And He shines eternal. And no, there was never a time that the sun was not. And no, he was not created, because he is the brightness of the glory of God. And when would the Almighty and the perfect God be without his glory? He is the glory of God. He shines forth as the radiance of light from a flame. For when has anyone ever seen a flame without the radiance of the light thereof? As long as the flame is there, the light is there. The light is not before the flame. If the flame would go out, the light is not after the flame. But as long as the flame is there, the light is there. And if God the Father is an eternal flame, and He is, the Son of God is eternally the brightness of His glory. See, we consider just our sun, which lights our solar system. Thank you. Our sun, which lights our world, it's actually a small star in our universe. It's like the little brother star of our solar system. And we consider, if you were to consider all the 100 billion some odd stars that we have in our solar system, many of which are larger than our sun. And then you would consider other galaxies that maybe have 800 billion stars in them. And then you consider that there are hundreds of billions of galaxies just like ours that have hundreds of billions of stars. And if you were to combine all the radiance of their light together as one, it would be dwarfed by the glory of Jesus Christ. He shines forth as the infinitude of God's glory. This is why John said, I saw his countenance as it was the sun shining in its strength. He looked upon the Son of God, the resurrected, the risen Son of God, and he said, it's as the sun that shines in its strength, because the best that the human mind can do is to say that the glory of that light is too bright. It cannot be looked upon. It is the infinitude of the glory of God. And His name is Jesus Christ. And you consider that light beyond anything that we would ever suspect would happen. It was that glory that was plunged into darkness. It was that light. It was that radiance. It was the cherished, the glorious Son of God that was plunged into the abyss of darkness, plunged into the dark fury of God's wrath for us. And yet, that light could not be quenched. That light was the light that Solomon was speaking of when he said, light excels darkness. And it is that light that emerged unquenchable, having swallowed up death in victory, so that we can one day put on immortality, seeing the light and the glory of God in the person of our glorious Savior, Jesus Christ. And it is for that reason that it is written in the book of Daniel, many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. What's the difference? Christ is the difference. Amen. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. What will keep us from awaking on the resurrection day to everlasting contempt? The answer is, from the book of Isaiah, we hear Jesus himself speaking, thy dead men shall live, together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, you that dwell in the dust. And for that reason, the apostle Paul cries out, awake, you that sleep, and arise from the dead, and the light of Christ will shine on you. And it is to believe the gospel, to awake out of darkness, that resurrection that we have spiritually, to come to life and faith and believe that that is the down payment, the earnest that we will one day rise with Him. Just as that light rose out of the darkness and it ascended to the heavens where it rightfully belongs, so we too rose in Him. For our citizenship is in heaven. And just as He ascended into the heavens, He has prepared a place for us, being heavenly lights. These are the saints of God. These are the heavenly lights. And while as yet we are still here on the earth, shining forth the light of God's glory, we, like the moon, are reflecting a light that is not ours, and we are therefore bearing witness that there is a greater light that gives us our light that we reflect to the world. While we still shine in this world, we bear witness that it is still nighttime upon this earth, but we bear witness that the great dawn is coming. Because that light shines upon us and we shine in the world, there is the promise of the glorious bodily return of Jesus Christ, the light of the world. And on that day, the sun will rise with the burning heat. The sun will come out of its tabernacle. The bridegroom will come out of his chamber. The grass will wither away. The flower will fall. And the beauty of it will fade away. But on that day, those of us that believe in Christ as Lord and Savior, we will be given eyes fit to behold His glory, to see the glory of Christ in its fullness. And as it says in the book of Revelation, we shall see the face of God. We shall see His face. So it is written, beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And the final question is, on that day, what will God see you as? I'm not asking what will God see the saints as. I know what God will see the saints as. I'm asking what will God see you as? What will God see me as? What will God see all of us as? Will we be the believer for whom is reserved the perfect day of eternal glory? But remember, on that day, those that are not heavenly lights, those that are in fact darkness, will be cast into outer darkness, where the faithless do belong. Jesus spoke again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Eternal life awaits you. Amen.
That was good. That was very good. I was just sitting there as Tyler was expounding that portion of scripture, and it was once again brought to my cognition the depravity of mankind. And here's what I mean. There is nothing more glorious in all the universe than the preaching of the gospel. Nothing. Nothing surpasses the preaching of Christ. Nothing. Nothing fits the soul of eternity-bound men and women like the gospel. Nothing will prepare you for eternity but the gospel. There is no subject in the universe more radically essential than Jesus Christ and Him crucified. There is no promise or hope that can be offered to any eternity-bound soul that surpasses the preaching of Christ. And yet the preaching of Christ is trodden underfoot of men and women every day. Every day. So listen to me before I open the mic for us to talk a little bit. Here's how you know that the gospel has failed to be of relevance to you. It's because you have forgotten that you are a sinner in need of that message. Every day. Every day. Every day we need to hear the gospel preached. Every day we need to be able to examine our soul, our mind, our conscience as to whether or not we have been deceived by our culture, by our experiences, by our flawed assumptions of ourselves into thinking, I'm not a sinner. This is how you can know that you have ceased to be a sinner. Are you ready? The gospel doesn't excite you today. This is only a sinner's gospel. This is a sinner's gospel, Brother William. Only sinners are lay wasted by the revelation of God's effulgence and glory in Christ. Only sinners are mesmerized and stupefied by a simple explanation of the ultimate light of the universe. Only sinners are halted in their tracks and made to think how privileged we are for this moment not to be walking in the darkness that we are so used to. So used to that we He said it. We clothe ourselves in darkness. We clothe ourselves in false notions of our uprightness or our agendas or our plans or our well-being or even our knowledge, our intellect, our prowess. Until the gospel comes and strips you, brings you back to that place of realizing, you know the most blessed day that ever entered into my life was the day when God broke my heart with the truth of His word, showed me who I was and who He is, and it's been that way ever since. And the test is until we reach that day where we meet Him. Am I still in need of this Savior? Or was that an illusion? Was that a mirage? Am I just a religious man seeking to put together some philosophical Tower of Babel through doctrinal teachings? Or does the gospel penetrate my soul and bring me to that place of saying it's like water, it's like bread, it's like air, it's like life to my soul all over again. I was just sitting there just thinking, you know, having been through many spiritual battles since I was 18 years old, fighting hell personally, inside and out, dealing with struggles personally, inside and out, both in the church and out of the church, and realizing on this day, Deacon Charlie, on this day, right now, at 9:05, on the 16th of March, 2013, I was privileged to hear the gospel preached one more time. Isn't that a blessing? Isn't that? Listen, I've been in churches all over the world where they don't even come close to preaching the gospel. And we get to just walk into a feast, Brother George. Do you hear me? The sovereignty of God, the electing love of Christ, the justifying work of a Savior on Calvary's tree before the world began, on Calvary and at our conversion, the atonement of a glorious, glorious God-man, Jesus Christ, redeeming us from all iniquity. Let me hear them again and again and again and again. Wonderful words, beautiful words, wonderful words of life. Teach them to me again and again. Wonderful words, beautiful words, wonderful words of life. Isn't it good? Isn't it good, brother? Isn't the gospel good? Didn't the gospel get a hold of you a few years ago? Tow you in? Make you dumb enough to come out on Saturday night? Just know, you know, one of these brothers, the Lord has used somebody, put him in a corner, and gave him a revelation of his glory, and maybe he'll be able to stand up and say something to us that can encourage us for another day. Good stuff, isn't it? Good stuff. All right, let's just have a few questions, if you want to, observations, before we close in prayer. Anybody got anything to say? Can you run, Brother Paul? Anybody? Any question, any issue, brother, we can pray, we can talk about burden, we can do anything. We got about 10 minutes early now. I just want to make sure we do some ministry before we close.
Yeah, Pastor, I came out expecting to receive a good word, but this was just outstanding. My spirit is just touched, and I'm just thankful that God has had me in the house, and and he continues to restore my soul, yep. You know, and this was just, it was a quickening.
Yep. Without a doubt. Anybody else? You guys ought to all have your hands up. Over here, Brother William.
That meal came with a dessert that reminds me of when we're in heaven and we're feasting, how good that, how good that meal is going to be. Just something that we've only had a snippet of it here on earth in this form that we're in. Mm-hmm. But when we're with them and we're able to just, when the Lord just puts that table out and says, take and eat all you want, it just, it doesn't fill you in a way that you're bloated.
No.
It's such a feeling of, I've been watching a lot of food shows lately. And
I can tell.
They throw different spices and things or whatever the thing is. But this is something that's just, so good. It's so good. And I'm thankful that the Lord has used you and all the brothers here to be able to get to the level of even, you know, being able to handle it. Because you could come here and not know the Lord and just it mean nothing to you.
That's right.
But to be able to have us in a point where we can actually enjoy this feast, like you said, sometime in March, you know, on this day and this, you know, the Lord to say that on this day, I'm going to have a group of men that I'm going to serve them something through my servant, and it's going to be tasting so good. It's yeah. just.
It's amazing.
It's sweet. Amazing. I thank you. Thank you, Brother Tyler.
Yep.
That was just amazing.
Brother Tyler, this is Felix. I want to thank you so much for that message. I want to thank the pastor. I want to thank the brothers. Just being here together is amazing. We almost didn't make it.
Yeah.
We almost didn't make it. But by the grace of God and by the word that he put in your mouth to say that he has us where he wants us,
yeah.
that really moved me right there, because it really let me know that I'm not here by coincidence.
That's right.
I'm not here because I wanted to be here.
That's
I'm
right.
here because he wanted me to
That's
be here.
That's right.
And I thank him for giving me the opportunity to bring my son as well, which I really pray for. And I pray that you brothers keep him in prayer too.
Always, 17. Always. And, we keep all, I want you to know this. It was a joy to see him come. But we keep all of our boys in prayer, don't we, Craig? We keep all of our young men in prayer, as well as our daughters.
Yes.
Because
yes.
they're the next generation.
Yes.
We don't fail to pray for them.
Amen.
I mean, daily, we don't fail to pray for them. Because God has to do for them what he did for us, Ivory.
Yes.
You remember what God did for us in our youth?
Yes.
In our darkness?
Yes.
In our folly?
Mm.
How he hunted us down?
Yes.
Put the handcuffs of grace on us.
Yes.
Told
yes.
us out of the darkness. And brought us into the light. A light we didn't even comprehend.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's why I love the part where he says that light that came into the darkness.
That's right.
Deep.
That's right.
Oh, that is just awesome. Mm-hmm. And praise the Lord for that. Thank you once again. God bless you.
I like the part about our obligation to shine. It made me just think about, you know, like we said earlier, we get to come here and the other Bible studies I go to, we get so much of the gospel, and it's just making me think, you know, I need to pray more that I could shine more and share what I've learned, because I got so much information, but
yeah, you do.
I need to get it out there and share it with others.
Without a doubt, Craig, but I want to just take a portion of what Tyler said about that so that we can understand the care he put into it. The care. Now, a lot of us play football. We enjoy football. The analogy was completely appropriate. Wasn't that analogy appropriate? I mean, that brother just caught us right in our ego, didn't he? I mean, that was cool. He could have did some quarterback analogies, some wide out analogies. You know, some cornerback analogies for me, you know, cornerback analogies. But the beauty of it is that he tailor-made it to help us understand that just as important as the defensive line is, the offensive line, the quarterback, every position is important, every play. Isn't that right? Every play. And that you don't want to ever get distracted and fail to achieve your mission by thinking you're not in the play because you're not the tailback or the cornerback. That's ridiculous. You understand what I'm saying? And the tailback, the halfback, fullback, he completely depended on that front line, didn't he? He completely depended on that hit, that block, that little hole that goes like that and closes. Completely dependent on that. In the same way we are with this matter of the gospel, in the ubiquitous and pervasive manner in which God enters in people's lives on an everyday basis. Because it's not going to be star-spangled banners. It ain't like that. He'll just set you up for one person at one time, and you shine, and then you go somewhere else. You may not even see the end result of that. That's not your business. Your business is not to determine who you're going to shine on. Shine on them when you want to and then see the end result as you would see it. Your job is just to shine forth as lights and let God do the rest. Man, that's a simple mission, Brother George. That's a simple mission to my young men here. Simple mission. Get yourself full of the Word. Fall deeply in love with Christ. Ask Him for His Spirit to give you enough boldness to be ready to open your mouth when God puts you in that situation. Isn't that good stuff? That's good. What a privilege. Do you understand how we used to serve hell, the devil, our own fallen nature, and love to do it? Do you remember that? What kind of servants we were? What a joy to be under the gospel. What a joy. And to know that God has sprinkled the dark canvas of hell, the masses of humanity, that black mass, with heavenly illuminaries. That's what we are. Heavenly illuminaries. That's all. That's all. That's good stuff. One or two more, we'll shut it down. Stephen. Got to put it to your mouth. Yeah.
Message. I've been convicted.
I don't know. That's
if
how
I'm
you
speaking.
Know the gospel's good. It tears to your butt. Doesn't it tear to That's how you know the gospel's
yes,
good. It gets a hold
yes,
of you
sir.
And messes up some stuff.
Yes, it
doesn't
does.
It?
Expose me, strip me, bless me,
yeah.
Comforted me,
yes.
Gave me a basis to rejoice and be thankful.
Yes.
I received more strengthening
yes.
and confidence in Christ.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what the light does.
Yep.
And I don't know if I'm speaking for others, but that's exactly what happened to me from one of my own peers. And I appreciate the Lord's grace upon him.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Anybody else? Right over here, my brother right here. Then we get you, Mike. Come over here.
Thank you for the message. It's just good to be back.
Yes.
I tell you, the way of the transgressor is hard.
We know that way.
Yes.
Hey, do we know that way?
He ain't yes.
talking to nobody that don't know that way, does
yes.
he?
Yes. I always get excited when I hear about the light. One of the reasons is because I've worked in the field of electrical, and one of my skills that I used to use when I'd be trying to sell a job to somebody is that light and lighting is used for beauty, safety, and security. And the gospel is beauty, safety, and
Isn't
security
it?
For me.
Isn't it?
Yes.
Isn't it? Isn't it?
I was truly blessed by this message. And one thing that reflected on me is the word luminaries was used. And I remember a long time ago, a great pastor told me that we are just moons and we don't have light, but we reflect the light of the Lord. And then I realized that the moon is in various locations,
mm-hmm.
and that's where God places the moon. And it made me reflect, I'm a luminary for the Lord. Where I'm at now, the people I'm around now, the anyone I have contact, and I do it silently by the way I behave. Because it was on it with the message about not complaining,
that's
about
right.
conducting yourself
that's right.
like a child of light. And that's a discipline. That's a discipline to tell God the truth about myself when I'm about to flare up, is to be honest enough and let that the Holy Spirit take control and make me a luminary. I mean, I know who I'm being that for to at the time, but I'm that. And
right.
that was the beauty of it,
that's
is that
right.
I'm not reflecting me. I'm reflecting him.
That's right.
And just keep myself polished for him.
And the reality is, too, we had another hand over here. We'll get Michael and George and we'll shut it out. I will say this, you know, one of the reasons we do the indicatives, brethren.
That's good.
Remember, you have in the New Testament, and this is Old Testament, too, a fundamental rule. Imperatives are what we do. Indicatives are who we are. God never gives an imperative without establishing first an indicative. He doesn't command us to shine if he doesn't qualify us to be lights. You guys got that? The gospel is always indicative, imperative. Indicative, imperative. Indicative is what God does to make us what we are, The imperative is God's right to tell us to be what we are. And that's why we're learning these indicatives ever since our leadership class almost a year ago, because it helps us to see ourselves the way God sees us, because we often don't. We don't see ourselves the way God sees us. And what ought to blow you away is God sees you magnificently more than you can ever imagine yourself to be. And my job is to try to get behind God's purview and see what he sees. Because that's what's going to strengthen my faith, to see what God sees. And that's our job as a whole. That's our job. I just encourage you guys to continue to understand the beauty of just a portion of Scripture meditated upon that points us to Christ and secures us in him. There's another thing that the light does that's absolutely phenomenal. Now, this is a limited application of the light, because the light does many things. The light shines, but it's not noisy. In other words, the purpose of light is to illuminate. It's not to quarrel. It's not to fight. It's not to make noise as if it is the point of reference. The goal of light is to illuminate. You got that? So these indicatives are for us to meditate upon so that we can also adjust our character in relationship to it. If I'm a man of the gospel, as we are all men of the gospel, my job is not to make noise, because that would point to me. My job is to illuminate so that I can point to him. Right? It really is true. How functional is light? We need it for everything. How much we take it for granted. But it's absolutely essential for everything. We got light around us now. It's not making much noise, but it's doing a lot, isn't it? That's the whole point. That's the whole point, isn't it? It's the whole point. My brother.
Yeah, I don't really know how to articulate this, but it's like I didn't suspect that was going to come from him when I seen him walking up on the stage. I was like, and that's kind of like understanding that it's not about the messenger, it's the message more so for me. I've been coming, you know, to church here, and I see the brothers enlightened and inspired and fired up, and you know, I'm like, I want that.
Yes.
So
yes.
I say to myself, it's Saturday. What am I doing going over here? You know, but it's like I'm coming because I'm trying to obtain a stronger relationship. I'm trying to experience that thing you say when the light is switched on.
Yeah.
I don't think that it's I don't know if it is yet, or if it's coming on, or if it's a dimmer switch or something. But you know, I'm coming back.
Hey, do we know about the dimmer switch? See, that's CJ. And CJ, I just want to say this to you. And all my brethren who have been in the Lord for a season know this is true. When God calls a man to the gospel, he draws a man to the gospel. He draws a man to the gospel. No one can come unto the Father but by me. And no one can come unto me except my Father, which has sent me, draw him. And very frequently, and this is the ego part of man that God made, y'all can be honest and help CJ out. CJ wants to be able to say what we have the ability to say. But it takes time. Tyler has been with us 3-4 years, maybe 5 years now. He couldn't talk like this 4 years ago. Is that true, Tyler?
That's true.
And so you got to do your time, CJ. Hey. He got to do his time, man.
Appreciate
I'm telling
it.
The truth, brother.
Thank you.
See, we started our men's meeting a few years ago, and I didn't let any of the guys speak until about 5 years ago, and they had their first run at it.
Y'all remember how y'all did that first run? Remember that first run? But haven't we been blessed this time around? Doc, have we been blessed this time around? Because it's just a matter of staying under the gospel, learning it in all humility, and letting God teach you so that over time you can open your mouth and show forth the knowledge of his glory. And a few years from now, you'll be here. Somebody else will be down there and looking at big black brother CJ saying, I never would have thought anything came out of his mouth like that. The beauty of the gospel is that's exactly how God does it. He completely demolishes the appearance of things. He demolishes our assumption that a good preacher of the word must be this person, that person, the other person. He always does that. Not sometimes, always. Not many mighty, not many noble, not many wise, not many lofty, not the upper echelon, not the head and shoulders above the rest like King Saul. King David. You hear me? King David. Gideon, and many others, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of man. Oh, Brother Mike.
thank you, Pastor. I just thank the Lord Jesus Christ for bringing a vile sinner like me. And sit me down in a great church like this to hear the gospel preached in its simplicity like Tyler just did. And I'm grateful to the Lord for having a blessed preacher and teacher like yourself that has given me the privilege to see these young men come up like this. And it's a blessing.
Isn't it a blessing, Michael?
It's a blessing.
Yep.
It is. So I'm very grateful to these young men for their preaching, how they've been doing it very well.
Yep.
Very, very rejoicing in that.
Yep.
And also, I just want to add, the other day I was calling Verizon for a particular, just a question I had with my phone. And I got this young lady on there, and she was talking about her grandfather who had passed away, and how when she does certain things, she's kind of worried that he sees her, which opened the door for me wide open.
That's right.
And I was, by the grace of the Lord, able to start preaching the gospel to her over the phone.
That's right.
Next thing you know, I'm deep in it now. And it was a blessing because she had told me, thank you, sir, I needed to hear that.
That's right.
And she said, and then I said, what's your name and what's your husband's name? I'm going to pray for him.
That's right.
And her name was Adrian and her husband's name was Tyree.
Yeah.
So I put that forth for them. It was a blessing to be able to do that. I thank the Lord for giving me that grace to hear
that.
That's right.
That's right.
So thank
Amen.
You.
Amen. Amen. Deacon,
then George.
Gerald and then George. Okay. We'll close it down.
I appreciate once again seeing the grace of God and the Lord using Tyler, but to be able to perceive the grace, again, you just can't help but to thank the Lord. Also, I appreciate some, you know, practical things that was said. He said, as lights of the world, we need to hold the word of God. We need to, you know what I'm saying, like open up the book. And so, and to me, being able to do that, that's a blessing in itself.
Mm-hmm.
That is the blessing,
mm-hmm.
to be able to be in the Word on a consistent basis,
mm-hmm.
and just drawing from Christ, from, you know, like the light.
Mm-hmm.
We can't help but to shine in places where He would choose, you know, because we're only a cup, or where He would pour out on whomever He will in His own timing.
That's right.
That's why He said we can't shine. How do we shine? By opening up the book.
That's right.
And so it shining has to do with what I'm learning from Brother Tyler. It has to do with our being made one with Christ, mm-hmm. being, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying, a son of God. Yeah, of God. And so it was just so much he was laying out there that was, I had to stop writing and just, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, it was some good stuff, man. Yeah, brother.
There you go. There you go. Give up the microphone. You just give it to George so we can shut it down.
Pastor, I was going to say that you could tell the Spirit of God was with Tyler this week to meet with him in his labors. The one thing that I appreciate, Tyler and a lot of our young fellows at this time, is that the Spirit is really convicting them to tell the truth and not to be ashamed of the gospel, which was one of our themes a couple of years ago, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. So it's an answer to prayer to see some of these young kids be serious about eternal life, but also eternal bound souls.
Yeah, without a doubt, and George can finish up. I will say this, too, in relationship to light, just because it's the metaphor. Not only is it quiet, not only is it illuminating, but light is serious. Light is serious. Light doesn't play games. Light does not play games. It has a purpose to accomplish. And if that's one of the things that I can, you know, thank God for our young men, is their seriousness about the gospel, because people are flippant about the word of God today. They are very careless. They don't care. They don't have the reverence. They don't have the reverence. And you can easily get a young man and allow them to speak, and they can be fickle, and they can be culturally sensitive, and they can be very loose with their words, irreverent even. But our young men don't do that, and it's because of the modeling that goes on at Grace. We're serious about the gospel. And so that part I'm thankful for, too, because our men know that even if they're young, it doesn't give them the freedom to play with the word of God. If God has given you the capacity to open your mouth and speak, when it's your turn, you use all of the balanced gifts of communication that the text calls for. But you have to be serious about the word of God. It has to be a serious matter. This is a life or death matter, and I am so thankful for that too. Brother George, help us out.
Close. Yeah, I just want to thank God again for his wisdom in equipping the body with men, young men, old men alike.
Yes.
And to give them the ability,
yes,
to edify and feed the body. Yes. Just as Brother Tyler did tonight. That was a solid, solid, Christ-centered, cross-lifting message.
Yes.
And I thank God for that.
Yes.
There was one thing you mentioned which Brother Gerald commented, which is what I wanted to comment, is opening the book.
Yeah.
I don't know if you just open the book on Saturday and then Sunday, throughout the rest of the week, the book is closed. And if you do that, you will not walk in light.
That's right.
And if you don't walk in light, you will never be able to have fellowship with the brothers and with God himself.
That's right.
One thing that touched me is, as he was preaching, presenting the message, I am examining myself. What is in my life that is blocking that light? What is in me that is hindering that light from going forth with power? Because we are not the source. We reflect it.
Yeah.
And so I hope that we, all men, when we go home tonight, as we are here going home, start thinking about that. And don't stop thinking. Start weeping. Examine yourselves. Because we can shine brighter,
yeah,
than we're shining today.
That's right.
But the book must be opened.
That's right. That's right. I'll close with this. I want you to turn your Bibles to, it's probably 2 Peter. Just give you a promise. And this is in accord with
It's in accord with our metaphor tonight. And Tyler quoted a passage I've quoted for years, and it's true. And it's Proverbs 4:18. If you don't know it, meditate on it and memorize it. There are a lot of light passages that you can memorize, but Proverbs 4:18 should be one. The path of the just, the righteous man, the man made righteous in Christ, is like a shining light that shines more and more to the perfect day. You guys got that? And he described that perfect day. And that day is a person. That person is Christ. The path of the just is as a shining light that shines more and more until you see him face to face. If that be true, then all of the stuff that's going on in your life that's bringing you down and humbling you and tearing you apart is designed for you exclusively to gain a greater clarity of your Savior to whom you are coming. Because for the believer, we are headed towards the light, while the non-believing world is going away from it. This is biblical theology I'm teaching my ladies. God has set the whole of history under one term, the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord. For the non-believing world, which has rejected the gospel, the sun is going down. For the believer, the sun is rising. Got it?
Yes.
So listen to the text. The Apostle Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of his" what? Majesty. He's talking about the Mount of Transfiguration, where our Lord manifested his ontological or natural glory leaking through his garments, of which Tyler adequately demonstrated how impossible it is to look upon the Savior, whose glory excels the hundreds of billions of galaxies that possess the hundreds of billions of suns, of which our own sun is impossible for us to look upon. How glorious he must be. Do you understand that God is qualifying you and I to look upon that glory one day? He's qualifying us to do that. Listen to it. I'm in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. Oh, I'm sorry. Verse 17. "For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount." I want you to hear this next verse, because this is the point of the evangelical call and conversion and sanctifying work of the Spirit of God in the life of every child of God. "We have also a more sure word of prophecy." Got it? You know what that is? See this book? Got that? You got this book? This is the sure word of prophecy. "We have a more sure word of prophecy." Listen to it. "Whereunto you do well to take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a" what? "Dark place." That was the whole message. And now watch now, watch the eschatological objective and expectation of God towards those who take heed to the word. Here's the
ultimate teleological objective of God. This is the goal for those of us who continue by his grace in his word and therefore are his disciples indeed. Until the day what? Until the day dawn. You know what that means? The sun is rising. Until the day dawn and the day star. Who is the day star? Arise in your heart. The rising of the sun in full orbed revelation of his glory is the ultimate objective of God for his people. For us to see him face to face and to be made to see him face to face and not be consumed. Because no man can see God and live. And yet there are a whole host of people, Mark, that will see God in these bodies and live. And that's what this whole thing is all about. So let's stand in prayer, brothers, so we can go home. And may God bless our travels and bless our thoughts and get us prepared to worship. It's good to have all you men out. Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus, who is the brightness and effulgence of your glory, the express image of all your attributes and characteristics made manifest to us in this world and causing thereby our salvation and even our humility and sanctification as it exposes our corruption and our weakness and our fallacies and our ignorance and our negligence and our apathy and our coldness towards you. And yet you still shine upon us. Thank you, Lord, for doing so. Thank you for apprehending us even when we're just going through the formality of church and the formality of gathering together. You are a covenant God and you know exactly what we need. And we thank you for preparing your servant and we thank you for preparing our hearts. And as we go our way, give us traveling mercies. Bless every man here, every family represented here, every nation represented here. Bless your church as it worships you tomorrow. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, brothers.